Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good morning, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on another Super Saturday. It's the first Saturday of December, December 2nd. We're live from our Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Ice Pick Vodka, Body Armor Studios, right across from Tropicana Field, where they got a little holiday feel over there all for the next month, actually. And it's pretty cool if you want to take the kids right across the street. And it is, I think it's kind of like a Frozen theme, but it's pretty cool. I went a couple of years ago. I'm Mike Rickard. I'm joined by baseball Ben Botham. And as always, we're on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, Florida Sports Stream Channel on RadioSt.Pete.com. And we got it's a huge day in college football, Ben Botham. It's conference championships. We'll break it down with Alex Reba, like he knows better than anybody in our world. Great game last night, Washington and Oregon, and promises to be a great Saturday down here at Ferg's with 104 televisions. How you been, man?
Been good. Yeah, working hard every day, you know, fixing up the house, but it's been a really good week. So
you got responsibilities now.
I certainly do, Mike. So it's been an interesting week trying to figure those things out.
Yeah, but it's a learning process, and at your age, you're very blessed. And as I just offered my services for exterior illumination, if you want to be seen from space with your properties one day, maybe this year we'll give you a day off, a year off. But next year, the goal should be the brightest on your block.
Give the old Clark Griswold treatment.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. We got a jam-packed show, as we typically do. Of course, tomorrow you got Bucks Panthers. Be a watch party here, but they're also at home at Raymond James Stadium. In our Tampa Bay Rowdies high school segment, we'll talk to Jim Hart and David Wilson. Get you the high school football championship scores from last night. Gavin Van Dyke's in the house with our Body Armor High School headquarters. And the kid that gets to go to everything that's Florida State, of course, Joey Geiger, my right-hand man, he's up in Charlotte, North Carolina, for that Louisville and Florida State game tonight. Triton Time, the athletic director, is coming down. The man, the myth, the legend, Tom Ryan, good friend of Mark Ferguson's and mine. He'll come down and kind of talk about what's going on in the entire athletic department over there at Triton. And then we'll talk Wyatt Ross. He's our Bolts insider. Of course, right before us, we have Paul Porter. Couldn't get more inside than the voice of the Lightning. But this young man one day may be in his shoes, and he'll be on about 11:50. And then in the second hour, we got our Body Armor Team of the Week. It's the Northeast Viking football team. Sean Davis coming down. Jay Davis, our newest addition to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. He'll talk about his Georgia Bulldogs as they take on the Alabama Crimson Tide tonight. And that's whether Alabama is in or out. And then we will, Alex Reba from Big Monday. He'll break it down, as I said, about 1:20, 1:15. He'll break down all of the collegiate action. And down here, as I mentioned, you can watch every game. Puts you in a little area of your own so you can have a blast. And a lot of small school. You went to a Savannah State and then Georgia Southern, right?
Yes. Yep.
And Georgia Southern made those playoffs quite often, didn't they?
Yeah, Georgia Southern's got a pretty good history. I believe they won some kind of championship a while back in the 80s, and they got all the statues and everything everywhere. But I'm relatively new to college football, Mike, and I've thrown a couple bets on them, and I do pretty terrible at college football.
Last week we talked, the week before,
yes,
we talked about your success. We'll talk about that later in the show with Alex Reba. You two can share your stories. Right now, we're going to move from a platform where we can't talk about gambling, well, at least not yet, to high school. And that's the Body Armor, of course, Prep Connection. And Gavin Van Dyke, good to see you back in the house, my man.
Yeah, it's great to be back after I had that little cold last week. I wasn't able to come in.
I had a big, big badass cold that knocked me out for about 4 or 5 days, but back in the saddle, boys.
It's rough. So, yeah, I'm going to go over the high school football scores from last night. It's playoff time. We're nearing the end of the playoffs, especially in some of the lower classes here, which they'll have enough teams. So the playoffs are usually 1 week shorter
than the big schools.
So obviously, our big story here in Pinellas County, Clearwater Central Catholic beat Trinity Christian last night, 39-32, to improve to 13-0. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 13-0, and I tell you what, you didn't get the chance to see some of the video. One of the best catches at any level I've ever seen in the corner of the end zone. I can't think of this kid's name. He was down here when they came down, the Marauders, and he's on his way to play for the Purdue Boilermakers. But what an incredible catch. And there's some athletes on that team regardless of the size of the school.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're definitely one of the, I think, the best team here in the Tampa area. But moving on here, we have Venice beat DeLand last night, 51-21. Trinity Catholic beat First Baptist, 51-36. Cardell Mooney took down North Florida Christian, 41-14. Coca beat Booker, 41-3. Bradford took down Pensacola Catholic, 22-21 in overtime. St. Augustine beat Dunbar, 35-14. Berkeley Prep took down American Heritage, 17-14 in a close game. And Gaither lost to St. Thomas Aquinas, 50-14, which kind of put an end to their little Cinderella run they were putting together in the playoffs.
That was a nice story. Very nice story, though.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. Chabade Madonna beat Archbishop Carroll 47-7, and Columbus beat Plant 27-7. So the Miami teams are still up and rolling.
As of every year, Dade County well represented and strong when it comes to the football championships, unfortunately. And we'll talk a little bit about it later on, but it's kind of amazing, Ben, and we'll continue this. It's kind of amazing, guys, that the number of private schools versus the public. I'd like to know how many public schools actually have won state championships in this state, because the privates pretty much dominate.
Yeah, from my like recent coverage of volleyball and looking at these schools, a lot of private schools seem to be winning state championships recently.
Cash is king, baby, right, Ben Botham?
It certainly is. I really do think that they need to have separate kind of divisions where, you know, the state champion for public schools, it's only the fair thing to do, because these private schools are, you know, out there scouting kids and pulling them over and giving them scholarships to go play. And it's crazy that they're able to do that.
Well, the public schools, today's world, he's a prime example. We were at Osceola, right?
Yeah.
And Boca Ciego beat you guys 1-0, so you got upset and you decided to go to Bogey.
It wasn't all like that.
I know. Well, that's how I'm spinning it. But the bottom line, it was right before your senior year, or was it your junior year?
I went to Bogey my senior year, my last year.
Gotcha. And you see it at the same time. But when kids go to Seminole, they stay at Seminole, right, buddy?
Yeah, for almost everybody that comes to Seminole stays there. But we have a really storied program. Of course, winning the state championship in 2001. And just the rich history of all guys like Casey Kochman, Brett Phillips have been drafted and have gone on to play professional baseball.
All right, let's continue. I know you've got some soccer and you got some basketball scores.
Yeah, so we're just going to do the boys. We're going to start with boys soccer from Friday night. Jesuit beat South Sumter 11-0. Plant beat Robinson 2-1. PHU took down Dunedin 8-0, or should I say 8-0, since we're talking soccer.
Soccer, nil, brother. I know you're baseball. You're both baseball guys, but nil. You get used to nil.
Caraway Day beat Tampa Catholic 3-1. Calvary beat Shorecrest 2-0. Keswick beat Indian Rocks 5-1. And Osceola beat Seminole 4-0 in the Battle of the Bridge. Pretty early on for that game, huh?
Well, all right. I got to give you guys a little backstory. There was a kid that completely snapped his leg in half during that game.
Oh, wow. So, thanks for the visual.
There's a little bit of a backstory to that. So it's
what
not all.
That? What
all
was that score?
4-0.
There was a 30-minute intermission.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of hard to bounce
back. Were you there?
I was there. I was doing.
Did you have to go out and
no, assist? I was bouncing back and forth doing tickets between basketball and soccer, and so I was kind of bouncing.
I had an egg sandwich just about hurled up after, because I've seen that happen before. Have you ever seen it before?
That was a first for me.
It's I've seen it happen.
Oh yeah,
it's brutal.
I've seen it on TV. I've never seen someone snap.
Yeah, brought the ambulance out on the field.
The worst of all time, and you two are too young to remember this, was Lawrence Taylor tackling Joe Theismann on Monday Night Football. He was the quarterback, the All-American at Notre Dame, been in the booth many, many years. Anyway, snapped it, and the technology in those days, they didn't really have, they couldn't go away from it. It was right there. And they ran replays of it. Now, anymore, you know, they pan away from it, but that was horrific.
Yeah, they don't usually show replays of injuries.
Not nowadays. Anymore. They're a little smarter. We were barbarians back in the day, buddy. All right, so what else we got going here?
We had Countryside draw St. Petersburg 1-1, and Booker took down Gibbs 8-1. And moving on to girls soccer from that night, Largo beat Pinellas Park 2-1. Northeast took down Hollins 6-1. And Booker beat Gibbs 4-1, and St. Pete beat Countryside 2-1. And then we're going to move to basketball. Friday night started off with boys. Robinson, the number 17th team in the area, beat Alonzo 55-43. Tampa Prep took down Jefferson 74-40. Gibbs beat Beach 66-26. Palmetto Ridge took down the number 3 seed Countryside, number 3 ranked team, 53-50. Largo beat Land of Lakes in a low scoring game, 45-42. And Northeast beat Lakewood 63-56. Clearwater Central Catholic beat Pasco 62-51. Berkeley Prep killed Clearwater 64-28. And Seminole beat PHU.
You don't say killed on the air. If you're listening on the other end, you said my kids got killed.
I mean, they got beat pretty
bad. They got beat up.
Clearwater got beat up by Berkeley Prep.
Gotcha. There you go. That sounds a little bit better.
And hey, girls.
Seminole score.
Seminole score.
Too shabby. That's because that great ticket taker that was out there.
You had that.
Definitely helped their defense there.
You are the king ticket taker. Say that 10 times. Ticket taker. All right, let's fly through these. We got Jim Hart holding to talk a little soccer.
Just a couple more left. Northside beat the Falcons 60-8 in girls basketball. That's the St. Stephen's Falcons. Clearwater Central Catholic lost to Wesley Chapel 39-42. And Clearwater beat PHU 67-49, and that wraps up the high school scores from Friday night. Lots of sports being played then. We had girls basketball, girls soccer, boys basketball, boys soccer, and boys football.
And you, Joy, will break it down on Fridays at what time and the name of the show?
We break all high school sports, everything high school sports, from 12 to 2 on Fridays.
Beautiful. He's Gavin Van Dyke, and that's our Body Armor Prep Connection from our Body Armor High School headquarters. And now it's time to talk a little more high school with Jim Hart. And he's got his finger on the pulse of all things that are soccer in the and you know what? And I'm going to throw Ben in this conversation quickly. I hate to say this, but I'm kind of going to start backing off at Champa Bay. The Lightning are down. The Bucks are down. The Rays had a nice season. But I can't justify it. I got friends in the Midwest that are hammering me. Champa Bay, my, you know what they're saying to me.
Hey, well, when you win as much as we have in such a short period of time, I think we have the right to call it.
Can still hold on to it?
At least for a couple more years. Once those bumper stickers start peeling off, that's when you can start pulling back.
Didn't the Boston Bruins, didn't they hold on to it for quite a, I mean, the Boston area, they held on to it for quite a while. Is that Titletown?
I couldn't tell you, Mike.
Jim Hart remembers
that. Not a Boston fan.
What was Titletown? Was that Boston?
Titletown, wasn't that Green Bay?
Well, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, but we only had one team to hold on to. The rest of them were the USHL hockey and semi-pro basketball. It's a town of about 90,000.
No, I think if you do the research, I think you can go back and find reference to Green Bay as Titletown, USA.
You are right, and unfortunately, I've got Matt at the controls in Clearwater, and it is Titletown. You think I would know that as a Green Bay Packer fan. But there was something that Boston was claiming, and rightfully so. They had the Celtics, they had the Patriots, they had the Bruins. But right now, we're teetering. But you're not teetering, my man. How you been? How was Thanksgiving? How was your trip?
Fantastic. Really great. And I got to add to this Champa Bay conversation. You know, the St. Louis is picking up the Champions League. South Florida is picking up the Champions League. Perry Vanderbeck was just in Texas. Dallas and Houston are looking at the Champions League. Omaha, Nebraska is looking at it. I think if you want to stretch the Champa Bay concept just a bit, There's only one place in America where the high school Champions League started, and it's right here in Tampa Bay. So there you go.
Okay, and thanks to Jim Hart and his supporting cast to get that accomplished. Glad to see it. My friends are sitting here. They live right down by Omaha, Nebraska, Kenny and Sherry, and that's a great move for the Midwest as well. You get it in Iowa and Des Moines, and you'll have a nice St. Louis, Des Moines, and Omaha. That'll be nice, well-entrenched, and then go a little south to Kansas City. You'll be well-entrenched in the Midwest in that region.
Kansas City's looking hard at it, as is Springfield, Missouri, by the way. So right on through the Midwest there. But, no, things are going great, Mike. Thank you for asking. We had a great trip, and we're getting ready for probably I would say it was one of the most exciting days of high school soccer in the history of Tampa Bay soccer coming up on December 5th, outside state tournament time, because we're coming up on day three of the High School Champions League with bids in the Final Four up for grabs. More than half the team still alive. And David Wilson and I just consummated the deal with the Tampa Bay Rowdies this week to be assured that the finals are going to be played at Al Lang Stadium. So there's going to be hundreds of kids this week playing for a spot in Al Lang.
But we're looking forward to that because, as I said, we'll be down there and we'll be on the call. I got a couple of guys in the wings. You can help me so we can put that on RadioSaintPete.com. And, of course, Florida Sports Streams. We'll talk about that as soon as you get it signed, sealed, and delivered, my man.
And one of the people still alive is on the phone with us, David Wilson.
Hey, we're efforting David Wilson. Do I have the right number?
Let's see.
I read your text four times and sent it up to Matt.
Okay, let me text
it to me.
Okay, we'll do.
So, yeah, and I've done it several times, and I know Matt's not. I know one that stumbles, fumbles, and bumbles on the keyboard, but I double, triple checked it today, and he's not answering. And I know you had talked to him about getting him on. But anyway, let's continue with our conversation on in the world of high school.
Okay, let's do that. So I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and it probably would take me longer than the amount of time we have to go through all the possibilities of who could end up in Al Lang Stadium. So let me just give a quick run through. These are the teams that are still alive. There's only one team guaranteed with a place in the Final Four right now, and that is the Palm Harbor Girls. The Berkeley Prep Girls look almost ready to go against them in the semifinal, but they have a little bit of work to do still. But against them in the other half of the girls' semifinal, we've got Bloomingdale, we've got Cypress Creek, we've got Tampa Catholic. We've got Land O'Lakes, we've got Sun Lake, and we've got East Lake, all still alive with a chance to get to the Final Four on the girls' side, all depending on the games this week. We have an exciting game that I want to call attention to. We're calling it the Lake Derby, Sun Lake versus East Lake, and the winner of that game is going to secure a spot in the Final Four. So that's really exciting. Mike, on the boys' side, there's one game to really pay attention to, and it's Tampa Prep versus Palm Harbor on the boys' side. The game is at Tampa Prep. Tampa Prep is generally regarded as the best team in the Tampa Bay area right now on the boys' side. They came in first place in the most recent Tampa Bay Top 10 poll. Palm Harbor is well regarded as a strong team, but they have to travel to Tampa Prep, downtown Tampa, and they've got to beat Tampa Prep to get to the Final Four. If that game ends in a draw and all other tiebreakers are exhausted, Mike, I hate to say this, but it would be a coin flip to determine which team gets through to the Final Four. And that would be a tough one for either team to take, but all other tiebreakers would have been exhausted if that happened. Crazy situation.
Hey, welcome your right-hand man, David Wilson, to the show finally because of the old man on this end. And I actually became a year older this past week, and it's not fun.
Congratulations, big man.
I, Yeah, I don't. Yeah, congratulations for surviving this long. I should have been gone. But anyway, David Wilson is now on the air. I just want to say this, that Palm Harbor group of young ladies and their coach with his enthusiasm and passion. I'm not just saying this because you guys are all close to him, but that was an impressive group of young ladies, and I was really impressed. And I was trying to get to John Daly to tell him that I ran into a young lady that's going to be an Arkansas Razorback because she'd have an instant fan in JD. I know that. But, David, I apologize for not having the right number to call you, but it's great to have you back, and I hope you had a great holiday.
Yeah, it was a great holiday. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad you feel better. Happy birthday. I missed that, too. And I just wanted to mention that I don't want you to become the whammy on teams when people come because Palm Harbor turned around and had a tough loss this past week. So I hope it's not the thing to put on them.
that's not good. Typically, we give them connection karma, man. We had CCC down here in football, and they're on their way to the state championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and it just happened, there's so many teams that are talented right now that you have to be ready to play every time you go out. And, you know, and I think some people look at high school soccer as like, oh, it's just high school soccer. And I'm like, you know, go watch how good these girls or the guys' teams are and how competitive it is. And, you know, Mitchell came in and into Palm Harbor and beat him 1-0. And Mitchell is 4-2 now this year. So two teams have beaten Mitchell. So you don't know who's really going to be the top team until maybe we find out the Champions League champion.
Hey, I got to ask both of you guys. My young intern here, Gavin Van Dyke, was just reading off the soccer scores this past week. Are we supposed to say nil or zero?
Nil is fine.
Yeah,
if
you got an English accent, it sounds all right. But when your guys that have soccer for dummies upstairs, nil sounds a little ingenuous, I'd say. We'll
you
just gotta go with zero.
Get used to it. Zero's fine too.
Yeah, okay. Either one of them are acceptable.
Well, we make plenty of mistakes down here, so it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't right. Anyway, aside from their soccer skills, those young ladies from Palm Harbor, I'm telling you right now the Lady Hurricanes, the Lady Canes. They were just class acts, and they were a lot of fun, and the energy they brought. And they were our first high school, as almost a team, you know, five girls, that we've ever had down here. We've had the soccer women from Eckerd, St. Pete College, but what a breath of fresh air. I just want to say that once again. I was that impressed.
Yeah. Well, you had Seminole last year. I was there with you, Mike. Do you remember? The Seminole girls came in.
Oh yeah, Ben Botham sitting across from me, the baseball coach, and you set that up, Ben.
Yeah, I guess I did.
You or Brad did?
I don't. I don't think it was me.
Well, claim it. You're a faculty member,
whatever.
And a coach. Jim. That was on a cold day, and we were inside. Now it's coming back to me.
I remember. And by the way, we have in the frame for 1 week from today, Eastlake High School girls. That isn't confirmed yet, but it's all but confirmed. And they could be coming in as the team that just won a place in the Champions League Final Four, depending on how they do this week. So you're going to have another group, a similar group, down to CU this week. We also have Boca Ciega girls scheduled for sometime in January. So we're trying to get you some boys down there.
That sounds great. Yeah, the Boca Ciega Pirates were my first high school team over 3 years ago. And we've kind of adopted them. My interns are Boca Ciega grads. But the bottom line is, remind these girls for next week, it's the Christmas theme. It's the next three shows, I'm going to be outlandishly dressed in Christmas garb, kind of like a Clark Griswold. So I don't want to scare them away, fellas.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Hey, David. David, how does it look for you this week in your Group 4 game?
Well, after, you know, looking at things and how our group has gone, you know, going to play at Jesuit is never an easy thing to do, and they're so talented. You know, I tried and tell our boys that, hey, we played Carroll Wood and scored three goals against them. Jesuit scored three goals against them. You know, so trying to give them some gleam of hope, but it's so hard to play at Jesuit and win down at Jesuit. Over the years, I think we've managed a tie or two down there, but the only place we've beaten them is at my place. So, but we're getting better every day. So, we can disrupt the group if we go into it. We win there and we get a Carrollwood tie or something, and then we still win the group. So it's still open.
Attaboy.
Hey, what do they call the field at Palm Harbor? Death Valley?
Yes. No, it calls it the graveyard.
The graveyard. They invited me to come up to the graveyard. I said, I think I'll pass on that invitation at my age.
Yeah.
The graveyard, they never lose there. And by virtue of winning the Champions League last year, Mike, they get the chance to host the semifinals there. David, is that still on?
Yeah, well, we're actually working with them again because they were going to start doing overhauling their field and reseeding and stuff like that. So if it's not there, it's going to be at Wiregrass. And so we should know at the beginning of the week. But we'd love it to be there just because, you know, we have the finals at Outlang, and the teams that win are down there. We don't have to travel all the way back down from Pasco to Pinellas County. But we're still waiting to hear. But either way, we have a site.
Yes.
If you guys get that done over there at L.A., you know, in the world of baseball, it'd be like the high school all-star kids do get to play over there, I believe, Ben, at Pinellas. I mean, at Tropicana Field.
At Tropicana and Jack Russell, I believe.
Gotcha. So. Well, it'll be a comparable feeling for these young kids playing at L.A., won't it, fellas?
It will. It will. David, speak to it from your team standpoint.
Well, our kids know that when you go to Outlang, and the way it'll, you know, be set up is that it's the same thing they do for the professionals. And teams go out and warm up, they go back into the locker room, then there's the walk-in, you know, with the Champions League music, and you have all the graphics around going around the whole time, and ball boys all over the place, and it's just a different atmosphere than they usually get to play in. And you're playing on the surface, that's fantastic. So, you know, I think our kids are more excited about, you know, winning the group just so they can play at Outlang than anything else.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I want to tell you about a meeting that David and I had this week with your friend Ryan Helfrich and the director of the groundskeeper, director of operations. I'm not sure exactly what his title is, but he runs the sort of the locker rooms and the field and so forth at Outlang. We had an hour-long meeting, Mike. Ryan ran the meeting, and he had a detailed point-by-point things that David and I would never think of, because he wants to make this Champions League final as if you're going to a Rowdies game. So we're going to have the LED ad boards. We're going to have the PA. We're going to have professional photography, video, the scoreboard, everything. You know, everything you can think of. And Ryan, you know, these are things David and I, we're just happy to be there. But Ryan's taking the bull by the horns and really leading it and really putting the Rowdies and Rays in a fantastic light as super generous and positive hosts. So that's something I thought you would appreciate.
Well, it's also it's a gorgeous setting. That first game I went to, that Ryan was kind enough to get me superb seats. I remember going in like the early 2000s, late 90s, 99, 98, with my kids coming down from Iowa to go to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays spring training. I hadn't been in that facility, but what a great view, man!
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unique in America, the waterfront view, everything, really special.
All right, gentlemen, any other topics you want to touch upon before I go to a break here?
David, what do you got?
I didn't know. I missed the beginning of this, so I don't know what you got through, but I just, our poll, the next poll is coming out tomorrow. The coaches' poll, so there are coaches, anybody listening out there, make sure you get your votes in to me so I can tabulate them. And on the girls' side, it may jump around a little bit. On the boys' side, Tampa Prep didn't lose at all, but Mitchell has a tie with Sonic, which is actually a really good tie, so it could switch them up. Most of them are probably the same.
Hey, David, go back to what you just said. So you are basically the one that you're the pollster, and it's a coach's poll. Explain that to our audience. That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, I send out at the beginning of the, you know, sometimes on Friday, I send the results of all the games during the week to everybody that every coach that's on my list. So any coach that wants to vote, they just email me and I put them on the list and send them out the information every week. And so I send out all the information. Sometimes when Max Preps comes out with strength of schedule, we'll send that stuff out, their overall record and everything. And then coaches vote for the top 15 teams in the three county area. And from there, I just tabulate all the votes and put it out when we list the top 10, and then also receiving votes. And we do it every week until we get to the end of the season.
Hey, I would like to get that on our end with my high school guys putting that on our social media. Is that possible?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can get Jim gets it every week. I can get make sure Jim forwards it to you, or I'll put you on the email list so that you get all the information.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I will let you go, and I appreciate David being patient. I wonder why we're getting hold of you the last couple weeks. It might be important to have the right phone number, but you guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, and I appreciate this each and every week we do the Tampa Bay Rowdies High School segment, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to have a little Triton time, and the man's in the house, the athletic director, Tom Ryan. We'll be right back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSt.Pete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSt.Pete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSt.Pete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Of course, it's a super Saturday down here. College football conference championships. Ben Botham, baseball Ben Botham in the house with me. And we just had a nice Rowdies conversation with Jim Hart and David Wilson, as we do each and every week. That's also brought to you by our good friends at Coca-Cola and Body Armor. And Triton time, it's one of my favorites. It's typically there's younger people across from me. But Triton Time is one of our favorites as well. Our nice partnership brought to you by Triton College. And he is Tom Ryan. He went to college there. He played basketball there. He was a coach there. And now he's at the helm as the athletic director, and he's kind enough to take some time out on a Saturday to come down and see us. How are you, my friend?
Good, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what's been going on in the world? I've had almost every fall team down so far this year, which has been great, thanks to Amanda Green. I want to thank her for her efforts, and they're always fun. And I do a golf show on Thursday nights, and we've been having the Eckert men's golf team come down and use the simulators. But yeah, it was fun on Thursday because Bill Butner was with me.
Yeah.
And we were just tearing down, getting ready to leave, and here comes all these young guys he'd recruited.
Yeah, that's good. No, they've been Ferg's been very generous. He lets the men's women's teams come in here on Tuesday or Thursday evenings and use the simulator.
Yeah, Thursday's where the guys showed up.
Yep.
But when Ferg does that, then he has to call me, and I come down and set it up. I don't mind because I enjoy the young guys.
Okay.
So what else is going on over there? You had a good fall.
We've had a great fall. You know, we've had a number of teams. Our women's soccer team had a great season, tying the school record with 10 wins and going to the conference tournament, winning a first round, which that's only been done once before. So they had a very good season.
Groundbreaking then.
Yeah, it was groundbreaking. New coach. This is his second year. Men's soccer had a solid season as well. And then our women's volleyball just got eliminated in the national tournament over at University of Tampa on Thursday night. So they had a great run. They finished fourth in the region and went to the national tournament.
Those girls were a lot of fun when they came down.
Yeah. All of our student athletes have really enjoyed it because I've gotten the feedback from them after they come down to the show, and they've really enjoyed the attention and also just the new experience.
Well, I think that when they leave here, they say, well, Amanda, you were right. He is a crazy old man. But it was fun, and it's a cool place. And one day when our IDs say 21, we can go down there.
Yeah, we've told them that they'll have fun, and it's a good experience. And it's like with everything we do with the student-athletes, other than play games, it's like, hey, you got to go do this. And when they get there, they have such a good time. They're like, when are we going back? When are we doing it again?
So. Cool. All right, so men's basketball off to a superb start.
Men's women's just started a couple weeks ago. Women are coming off a Sweet 16 appearance. They're currently 3-3. With seven new bodies on the team, and men's basketball returned a pretty good group, but also brought in seven new players, and they're off to a 6-1 start. Both of them play their next game on Sunday afternoon at University of Tampa.
You know, last year I had a lot of, I guess you can call it emotional equity with the women's team because, you know, I had Hannah and Nicole.
Yep.
And Nicole's now playing in the conference.
Nova, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, as I called her, a traitor.
Yep.
She's a traitor.
Yep.
And Hannah, unfortunately, is banged up for this year.
She is, but they say she's making really good progress. They're hoping to have her back in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, she's a great young lady.
She is.
But if you look at that team last year, the numbers that they had lost, their MVP.
Yep.
And to persevere and get where they were,
yep.
That was a rocky story for that team.
Well, when she went down, you know, and they were tied first or right maybe second, one half game out. But when she went down, I think everybody was thinking, you know, the worst. But in the next 2 weeks, that team found a way to gel together again, and everybody kind of changed their roles, and they made a great run. I mean, losing in the Sweet 16 at University of Tampa in the national tournament was a tremendous effort.
Well, unfortunately, it was at the University of Tampa, and I always get a kick out of when I ask them who's your biggest opponent. I know the answer.
Yep.
But that's a rivalry going back to when you played.
Sure. Yeah, men's and women's. The men's when I was in school, it was University of Tampa. They had started their program back up my freshman year in '83. Richard Smith came in, and very good team. So them and Florida Southern, it was you know, those were the across the bay rivalries.
This conference that you're in, and we use this term often when I'm describing it with the other your coaching staff, is the SEC of Division II. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
With the exception you don't have football.
Yeah. We call it the Conference of Champions. We have we're at 125 national championships throughout the conference and all the sports, and that's the most of any conference. So. You know, I think it's
so.
Very
it's just not. A, it's just not. You know, like a Champa Bay, like we've labeled this area.
Yeah.
You have it to back up with the number of championships.
Yeah, it's been very good. You know, it's a very competitive league, top to bottom. You name the sport, and right now our two of our women's soccer teams played in the Elite Eight of the women's soccer national championship. So one of them's advancing. I didn't see who won the game, but one of them's going to the Final Four.
The majority of the schools in this conference. Are they institutions of higher learning from an academic perspective?
Yeah, they are.
Like Eckert?
We're the only school. They're all all the undergraduate programs very, very strong. We're the only school without a master's program. The other schools in our league, the other 10, all have some form of master's program.
Well, that's hurt you a little bit with this this COVID year.
Yeah.
Because you could have kept a Nicole Scales.
Oh, yeah.
And I talked to a couple of your men's basketball players, too. They would have gotten an extra year.
Sure.
And then you got to see them walk into your arena or your field.
Yes.
And you know that they're bleeding Tritons.
Yeah.
But you can't blame them for wanting to play one more year.
We promoted them. Obviously, we've got, I think, one more year left of that where the COVID years are going to overlap. But, we promoted that. Our school's very strong academically for undergrads, and we promote them to graduate in their 4 years. And then, when someone has a red shirt year or a COVID year, go on and start your master's.
Because there were instances where there was a red shirt year and COVID, so you had two extra years.
Yeah, we have a young man catching at Tampa who's will be his second year this year, and he was a great player for us, and then he's been very good for them as well.
He's over at Tampa?
Baseball, yeah.
That's got to be a little tough to see.
We got him all over the conference, so every time we walk into a gym, it seems like we're facing one of our former student-athletes.
Gotcha. So you've had some fundraisers. You've had some other things going on. Let's update the athletic department overall.
We have three big fundraisers during the year, and two of them were in this fall. The first one was the MTM golf tournament. It's for Matthew T. McDermott.
We promoted the heck out of that. With
passed
Bill.
Away in 9/11, and it was our biggest one ever. We had 115 golfers. Again, the last 2 years, we broke records each time, so it's been really good. The support from the area.
That was up at Bardmore?
Bayou Club.
Bayou Club, right next to Bardmore. Yep.
But we've alumni support that very well, and so did the companies around St. Petersburg and Tampa. So we had a really good turnout. Then we just finished our November month of giving a day ago. It was the whole month of November, and we had over 400 donors, and we raised just over $90,000 for the athletic department. So that was records. That beat our records from last year. I think we were at 83,000 last year.
And that covered donors. Bill Butner's old salary?
Yeah, well, no. That's how we're keeping him employed now, so he still helps us out. So, but it was very successful. And then we have on April 19th, we have our big dinner auction, which is our biggest one, and that's a very fun event, and it also generates a lot for the athletic department.
Oh, that's one that I got some things for Amanda yep. for.
Correct.
Donation
packages, auction packages.
For auction packages. Yeah. So what else going on?
Well, basketball seasons are just kicking up. We've got another week of school and then final exams, and then the kids will be gone for a few weeks. And then when we come back in January, you got baseball, softball, golf, tennis, all picking up right then. So it's kind of the lull before the storm coming up for us.
We were just talking about it before we went on the air, Ben and I, and the youngsters go to St. Pete College. How many weeks do you get off at Eckert during the Christmas break?
Well, basketball gets 7 days. That's an NCAA rule. So they'll be gone from the 20th to the 27th.
But they don't have classes for...
There's no classes. And then our last day of class is the 15th, or our last day on campus is the 15th, and we don't start back till January 2nd. So for most of the students, they'll be back in January 2nd. But for all the first years, they go for a semester, and a mini semester in August. So they don't come back until the end of January. So they'll get almost 6 weeks off.
Yeah, we were talking about. What did you get when you went to Savannah State?
Yeah, it was pretty much almost all of December off, and we came back around, I think it was like January like 7th or 8th, somewhere around there.
Well, you were on the baseball team. Did you guys have to come back early?
Oh, no. Nope. Yep. We were good to go.
so you got that 6 weeks of putting on about 15 pounds, and then coaches wish you hadn't gone.
I was able to get out of that cold, Mike, come right back home to Florida and soak up the sunshine.
Well, let's tell your bio, because our audience has expanded.
Yep.
How many years that you in total have been at Eckert, and where'd you go to high school, and how'd you arrive down here?
I heard you talking about my high school earlier, but I've been at Eckert for 41 years. So I came from St. Thomas Aquinas down in South Florida.
The powerhouse.
That's right, the Raiders back then. Yes, yeah, still we're good football then, and the rest of the programs were growing. But and then I came to Eckert, played 4 years of basketball, and then straight out of school, I became an assistant basketball coach at Eckert. Did that for 9 years, and then became the head coach for the 23 years, and then I retired 5 years ago, and I've been the athletic director.
So St. Thomas Aquinas, let's go back there since we're embedded in the world of high school sports these days.
Yeah.
And I had followed him previously because I always had I always want to get a feel for what states have the most powerhouse. Yep. St. Thomas Aquinas, always in the conversation on a national level in football, and you'd see him on ESPN from time to time.
Two times a year sometimes, yes.
Yeah, so it's that competitive? I mean, is it football at that school and then baseball is the stepchild?
It is, but George Smith was the athletic director when I was there and football coach, and he was there for a long time. I believe he's retired now, and he still helps out. But the football team's gotten stronger all the way through. But our women's soccer's won multiple state championships, men's soccer. The golf team, you know, Chris Everett went to school. The tennis team is good, golf team. So the programs were very good top to bottom. They have one state championship in basketball. That was a couple years after me. But, you know, up top to bottom, they do a good job. I heard you talking about private versus public. And you know, some of the private schools have...
Yeah, let's talk about that topic, because I went to a private school myself, yeah. So I sound like a hypocrite.
Yep.
He, of course, is a Seminole Warhawk, yep. And they have a storied program, but that's public.
Yep. Well, I think it depends on the, obviously, private school and what they focus on, but St. Thomas is a very good academic school, but also they put money into their sports, all their programs, their facilities are top-notch, and they do a good job with it.
And it's hard for a lot of the public schools to compete. You know, we have centralized athletics here in Pinellas County, and that makes it very hard for us to participate against these schools that seemingly have a never-ending budget.
Yep, and that's it. That comes from their, you know, when you got people like Michael Irvin and stuff that graduated from school, that's going to feed it, and it's just going to grow more. But they've been successful in their fundraising efforts, and like you said, is public schools have caps. They have a line item for every sport, and it's equal. You know, it's more equal across the board for the public schools.
Michael Irvin went to St. Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah, yep. He was.
How do you think that recruiting job got done?
Yeah, he was a year younger than I was.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Did he play basketball?
He did, but he couldn't play my senior year. He couldn't play because he just transferred over, and they it's back in the day where you couldn't transfer schools, so he had to sit out that. His junior year, my senior year, but he was a heck of a basketball player too.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous athlete to come out of St. Thomas Aquinas? Maybe Irvin, huh?
Irvin, you got way back in the day, Brian Song, Brian Piccolo
went to school. Really?
There. Chris Everett Lloyd went to school there. There's a number. John Congemi played for Pitt. He backed up Dan Marino, and then was the starting his senior year. So
he knows everything, Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No, there's a number of very very good athletes that have come out of St. Thomas Aquinas in all sports.
Were you a point guard? I'm guessing.
I was a point guard. They didn't let me shoot. I just passed the ball and dribbled it, played defense.
You were essentially the quarterback in a wishbone offense.
That's it.
You were handing off the rock or keeping it and then dishing it.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, has this, and I want your opinion as a professional in 41 years of being over in that world, what do you think of this, the portal system? NIL, and what you can say on the radio. I mean, your personal opinion.
I think looking at all the numbers that have happened over the years, it's hurt some student athletes because they go in the portal thinking they're going to get somewhere or something better or something that fits them better, and a lot of times they wind up with no scholarship. And I can't quote you on the numbers, but there are some there's data out there that shows how many students go into the portal, and then when they do, the school that they're at is going to say, well, if you're going in the portal, then we're going to, at the end of this semester or a year, we're going to take your scholarship. We have to recruit somebody else. And then that young man or that young woman doesn't find a place to go. So then they go to a school and they pay to go to school. So it might still work out for them better if they find a better fit. But the transfer portal and the fact that they came at around the same time, NIL, I think the two kind of throw fuel on the fire. You know, where can I go? What can I – can I get paid somewhere else better and that kind of thing? So I'm not in love with it.
You know, to quote Kirk Herbstreit on this topic, you know, it was a huge mistake. It's the wild, wild west. They're not going to get their arms around it. They haven't gotten their arms around it. No one can give you an answer on what are the actual rules because they're not defined.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the NCAA can even impose any kind of infractions right now. Because, first of all, their credibility has gone backwards in many cases due to a lot of this happening. And unfortunately, I think we're going to see, well, look what happened to this conference realignment. We're watching history tonight and this afternoon because you're not going to see these teams playing each other. And I think it's sad. As an Iowa Hawkeye, I'm glad we're not going to see Michigan again. But the reality is it changed the history. You know, change is inevitable in life, but I don't think it's for the betterment of collegiate athletics, especially student athletes.
Yeah, and you know, there is something to be said. If you're not in the right fit, if this is not the right fit, if you choose a school and it doesn't fit you, you should be able to go find a place that's a better fit, because it's an important part in everybody's growth process, and you want to be in the right place with the right mentors and the right academic program that you want to study. So there is a place for transfer, for sure, and there always was. There's a one-time transfer waiver we used to use, and now it's basically taken that waiver out and just said you can transfer one time. You don't have to worry about the waiver. And so it's changed it a little bit. We had a one-time transfer waiver before, though. If someone came and said, I want to leave.
I did not know that. Yeah. I thought it was the injustice of it was that Ben decided he wanted to go from Savannah State to Georgia Southern. Yep. Did he have to sit out a year?
Unless you got a one-time transfer waiver.
And I didn't know that waiver
existed. Some sports where if you transferred up in basketball, for example, men's basketball went up.
If you went from division two to one,
you'd have to sit because they didn't want ones pilfering all the division two players. But there was cases there too that if you got a waiver signed from the athletic director saying, hey, we're okay, this is not the fit for this young man or this young woman, you want to go, then you could get waivered. But that every single person had to get that waiver, and I think this was just easier because now it's just a transfer portal in one time.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy life. It's a fun time. Hey, talk about this Division III tournament real quick.
Yeah, we have two Division III tournaments here, one before Christmas and one after. We'll have four men's and four women's team playing in our gym on the 19th and 20th of December. And then we'll have four men's and four women's teams, Division III teams, playing in our gym on the 29th and 30th. Of December. It's around our break. Our teams are practicing but not playing games in those times, so we're able to put them in there, and they travel well. They come down, they get out of the cold weather, most of them, and they enjoy St. Petersburg, and we have some good basketball.
And you just had a men's event too.
We had our men's Division II tournament Thanksgiving, but we had a women's event.
Division 1
tournament with Nebraska and Lamar, UTEP, and TCU were all here playing over the Thanksgiving break. A good women's tournament, and we've had that the last 3 years, and we'll have it again next year around Thanksgiving.
Well, we'll have to do a little bit more promotion of it next year.
We'd love that.
And some great schools coming down to enjoy the sunshine.
Great basketball, yeah.
He's Tom Ryan. He's the athletic director of the Tritons over there at Eckerd College, and we have Triton time. Try to do it each and every week. We'll take a break here now for about 6 weeks. But thanks for coming down, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, Ben Botham, would you have stuck around or you would have portaled it?
Savannah. Well, I had the ability to use the portal when I was at Savannah.
Oh, you did?
I certainly did. And I actually did throw my hat in the ring there just to see what would kind of come up. But it's not as, I mean, unless you're, a star quarterback at Georgia or Florida State, it's not that special. It just gives you the ability to go out there and talk to other schools and for them to talk to you at the mid-major kind of level. You know, your Savannah States, Bethune-Cookmans, even Georgia Southern, smaller D1 schools.
Gotcha. But you did flirt with it for a bit.
Yeah, I threw my name in there, just seeing what was going on, see if there was another opportunity out there for the old sidewinder.
Well, I told you what I think you should do.
What's that?
You should apply for that fifth year, and go back and be the old man coming out of the bullpen.
It's going to take a lot of.
We'll get you over at Eckerd.
Yeah, well, I could have to hurry.
We're going to talk college football with Alex Reba, and we'll also have in the house Sean Davis in the Northeast Vikings, and we'll also talk a little college football, some prognostication to this professional gambler.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.